If you battle back or hip pain or knee or shoulder pain, you don't have to tough it out. You can just turn it off with Smart Relief from Icy Hot. You just push a button and whoosh. Smart Relief sends waves of relaxing pulses that safely block pain at the nerve level. It's simple, easy to use, and it's been clinically tested to start providing immediate relief for hours, even after you turn it off. So if you're battling pain, let Icy Hot help you win that battle. Turn on Smart Relief and turn off pain.
Use only as directed.
Southwest Airlines asked for more time last year to inspect jet engine fan blades like the one that snapped off during one of its flights Tuesday in an accident that left one passenger dead. Southwest CEO Gary Kelly said the company is working with their partners to make sure this issue is resolved.
We're meeting with GE and Boeing on a daily basis regarding the progress of the inspections, and we'll continue to work with them throughout the investigation.
Thumbing their nose at a 20% pay raise from Arizona Governor Doug Ducey, the Arizona teachers voted to walk off the job April 26. A spokesman for the Arizona Teachers Association says they have the support of the community, families, and teachers.
Educators have delivered a strong message tonight and overwhelmingly support walking out of their schools for their students and their communities and their colleagues.
Next Monday through Wednesday, the teachers will hold what they've been calling walk-ins, and then the strike will begin on Thursday. This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
El Cajon, California Mayor Bill Wells is leading the effort among local mayors opposed to SB 54, which is a bill that would declare California a sanctuary state. He joined Fox News to talk about this process and how long he's been against SB 54.
Now, we started this process about a year ago. The city council went out strongly against SB 54. And I started an organization called Mayors for Safe Cities, which was pushing back against this whole sanctuary state policy. I know that it's not just Los Angeles alone. Most of the responsible governments in the state are pushing back against this policy because it's just ridiculous and it's frightening.
Whether it's timing a 95-mile-an-hour fastball or reaching for a coffee mug, movement requires extraordinary computation that many of us take for granted. How much of a role does our brain play when it comes to hitting a fastball versus our natural ability? Well, Zach Schoenbrunn is author of a new book titled The Performance Cortex. In this book, he takes a look at how much physical ability versus actual brain wavelength play a part when it comes to hitting a fastball. His results may surprise some people.
What it told me is that, you know, perhaps hitting had nothing to do with the hand speed or the muscles, but had much more to do with these neural signals that are prompting the decisions inside their brains.
Schoenbrunn also commented that athletes are a lot more intelligent than what people give them credit for. For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Well, good afternoon. It's April 20th. Sports guys, except both Bill and John have things that they had to do today, so you're going to have one sports guy. Let me tell you about our beautiful weather, and then I'll get back. And I think today I'd like to talk about the schedules some crazy schedules this year, and of course our upcoming draft that most of us who are diehard football fans are anxiously awaiting. And I guess the team, of course, who's going to really be slammed if they don't pick the right player first round, of course, is the Giants, since they have the second round. I don't think they've traded it. At least I haven't heard that, but then I'm not a Giants fan. But I think with everything they need this year, with their record last year, which was, what, I don't know, 2-13, not good. So other than their second to in the lineup to pick this year, and, you know, only after, I think, Cleveland Browns are first. So let's talk about the weather, which I think we should be pleased about. We finally may be getting some spring weather. Let's tonight, however, make sure you don't have anything outside. Or if you do, anything that needs to be covered, cover it, because the weather low tonight is about 31 degrees. So the, you know, hopefully your spring flowers are not up. The daffodils have taken a bit of a beating, but they're usually, you know, able to do that. I know it was really strange when we had the last snow. We had daffodils peeking up over the snow, but they're pretty hardy, actually. But many other things are not. In fact, for those of us who like to plant spring bulbs, you know, hopefully they're not going to rot before we can get them in the ground. So what about tomorrow? Well, it would be mostly sunny, beautiful day to work outside if we didn't have to worry about freezing weather nights in the future. At least for planting, it's still too early. So mostly sunny tomorrow, about a high of 58 degrees. Again, tomorrow night, mostly clear, low of 34 degrees. So it, you know, it's still cold enough to have the furnace on, unfortunately. By Sunday, we should have a sunny day, a beautiful sunny day, high of about 61 degrees. And then mostly clear Sunday night. And Monday should be sunny, high of about 64 degrees. So this looks like a very nice weekend, and good weekend to get out and do something. And anyway, that's our weather. So what? Let me just tell you who's bringing us the weather, and then I'll be back. And I'm hoping to have a guest on the phone today to talk about the draft and about the schedule. So we shall see.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, we're back. It's, of course, as Sports Guys, and I'm Pat Smits. Both John Manfreda and Bill Wolfson are not with us today, and I will try to call Tommy Devlin and see if he can talk a little bit about what's happening as far as some of the other teams. But, you know, here are my early thoughts about the Packers' schedule. You know, first of all, it's not going to take them long to really, you know, have some challenges in their 2018 season. First of all, they open with a pair of home games at Lambeau. First, you know, with their NFC North rival Chicago Bears on Sunday Night Football. That's their opener. Followed by the Vikings game, and they're coming to town week two. We usually, I should say not usually, I think every year, I can't even think of the last year that we have not gone to a Packer game, but we really like to go in the fall. September for us is really too early. It's nice here, so that I'm not really thrilled with the lineup. They're the Bears, as I said, and then the Vikings, and that Viking game is usually a real challenge. And, you know, Bears not so much the last few years, but we shall see. And so that's September. Then they go to the Redskins and, you know, come back. They played the Bills at Lambeau. Then in October, they're in the first Sunday in October, they're in Detroit. Then they play a Monday night game in Lambeau with the 49ers. They have a bye on the 21st, which is a good time to have a bye. And but what's going to happen here is the first two games will set up that intense divisional showdown. And it'll be early in the season and late in the season, in their regular season, because they end their season hosting the Lions, marking the fourth time in 5 years that the Lions have been their final opponent. And so, as I said, it will be that intense divisional showdowns both early and late in the regular season. And, of course, we know that the schedule was just released. And so that everyone is very interested in the schedule and, of course, very interested in the draft, which we will talk about. The middle of the season, the Packers have one of their toughest stretches of games in recent memory. They include 5 primetime kickoffs Sunday night versus the Bears in Week 1, Monday night versus San Francisco 49ers in Week 6, Sunday night at the New England Patriots. Frankly, if anyone knows of people who have tickets, that's a Sunday night November 4th game at the Patriots. I'd love to see that. That looks to me like it's going to be one of the more interesting games and, of course, one of the more difficult to get tickets. And then on they go to the Seahawks on Thursday night, and then on week 11 and Sunday night, week 12, so the 11th it's the Dolphins, and that is in Green Bay. Then on the 15th of November, the Thursday night game, they're going to be at the Seahawks playing. And then the Sunday, the following, the 15th, they're on Thursday night at the Seahawks. Then they have a little extra time. They have 10 days before their Sunday game. Again, that's a Sunday night game with the Vikings. And then in December, they're back, you know, as I said, they're back. Their last game on Sunday, the 30th, is with the Lions. So any Jet fans who want to see a Jet and Packer game can see them here, but it's Sunday, the 23rd of December. So not many of us are real happy about you know, going to a game that close to Christmas if we're really busy at that time of year. So as I said, there's really a lopsided home-away schedule since they have 3 home games in the first and last month of the season, but will be away from Lambeau for most of October and November, which really doesn't make sense because the weather in Green Bay is so much better in October and November, and certainly not good in, or certainly most of the time not good in December. In fact, can be really brutal in December. And so what else is happening in their season? Well, the one good thing is they do have a favorable bye week. You know, I think all teams like having their bye week near the middle of the season. Gives the coaches a significant sample size to self-scout in their week off without having to do game planning. And, of course, correct what's needed, hopefully. And it also allows players to rest up for the second half, whereas an early bye week means a long stretch of football to the end of the season. So the Packers this year get their bye week in week 7. And, you know, I'm sure that all the coaches are really pleased, and the players are pleased to see that. Timing the bye week is especially important because the, at least in this case, the Packers' toughest part of their season this year immediately follows that bye week. And so not only are they playing perhaps two of their toughest games of the year on consecutive weeks, and that's, you know, they play in Los Angeles against the Rams on October 28th, and then they follow that with their primetime matchup against Tom Brady and the defending AFC champion New England Patriots on November 4th. So not only are these two of their toughest games, but it means that they have to fly from Green Bay to L.A. for the first game, and then back to Green Bay, and then out to New England to play the Patriots. So they're going to be, you know, that's a tough, playing on the Southern Pacific Coast and then on the Northern Atlantic Coast. And, of course, it's also beginning of the potentially most difficult stretch of their schedule. Just not this season, but in recent seasons, as I recall, this is tough. So what's predicted is a surprise must-win game. You know, Miami Dolphins, a home opponent this fall. You know, probably we didn't think much of it initially, but we have to look at what's sandwiched around the Packers' home game against the Dolphins on November 11th. First of all, there are four trips to Super Bowl contending teams. First at the Rams, then with the Patriots, then the Seahawks, and that's a short week, and at Minnesota. So that could easily, I'm not going to say that's going to be four losses, but it's certainly far from ideal in late November. So that the Dolphins are a team the Packers should beat, especially playing the warm weather team. At least we always like to say that. Everybody in Green Bay, the frozen tundra, we like to say that we have an advantage over the, you know, teams that are playing in warm weather because this is, of course, going to be at home in November. However, Miami was 6-10 last fall, and but that was mostly because of the quarterback. In that case, the quarterback's torn ACL in early August. So the year before, when Tannehill was healthy enough to start 13 games, the Dolphins were 10-6. So I guess the point of that is that while the Packers should beat the Dolphins, it's not a given that they will. And they really need to, you know, hopefully not be faced with a 4- or 5-game losing streak. So, as I said, each of the three December home games, and this is what we call the snow games in Wisconsin, come against indoor teams, including two against opponents that don't make the Green Bay trek every year. So, of course, the Detroit always plays the Packers on the road, so they know about playing in cold weather, even though they have an indoor stadium. And Arizona Cardinals, which, you know, of course, they're in the NFC West, and the Atlanta Falcons, NFC South, are not accustomed to playing the frigid temperatures which December in Green Bay can present. So that hopefully will be a built-in advantage for the Packers. We shall see. I'm going to play some spots while I try to get Tom Devlin on the line to talk a little bit more and about what he thinks going forward with the Eagles. And, of course, I do want to talk about the NFL draft and some of the top players, because one of the players that I would like to see drafted by Green Bay, but I don't think there's any chance at all, unless in fact they trade up, I'd love to see them get the defensive end, Bradley Chubb, out of North Carolina State. And very athletic. His brother, Aaron, played for Georgia. And I thought, and I have to check, because for some reason I thought he played a short time for the Packers. But I guess that might... I don't know that, so I shouldn't say it. But he was a star linebacker in Georgia, and then Brandon's brother, Bradley's brother, Brandon, plays for the Detroit Lions. He's a linebacker. But I think that, you know, Chubb is as athletic. He's an edge player. You know, he could win in multiple ways on the edge. And I know he's being compared, you know, to the Eagles' Derek Barnett. And I'll have to talk to Tommy about that if he's on. But he's a polished football player. And, you know, he's just a freaky athlete. He's been at least said to be a freaky athlete. And we know that he has loads of potential. And so he's, you know, some people would say he's not in, you know, Garrett's class, but I don't know. I think he could win in multiple ways, and, you know, he would win with speed, athleticism, rushing, and... you know, he could flourish immediately, and certainly the Packers could use him, but I don't think that there's any, he'll have any shot, or the Packers won't have any shot at getting him, unless, as I said, they're willing to trade up for him. But, you know, that, I think he has a potential to really fit in with the Packers, and, you know, since he's very versatile, and he could either play defensive end or even an outside linebacker, depending on the scheme. And, you know, ability to be quick off the edge. He, you know, has been known to work his butt off, as they say, the entire game. And, you know, he got to be in the incredibly elusive quarterback, Lamar Jackson, multiple times when they played last year. And he's always pressured him. And that's something, I don't watch a lot of college football, but that's something that I do like to see because if you have a good quarterback, good to excellent quarterback, if you have the defense who's constantly pressuring them, that is certainly something to watch for. So we will see. We think he's he'd immediately improve the Packers' pass rush. And I suppose those of us who love Clay Matthews also could see him to be an heir apparent to Matthews as, you know, the team's premier pass rusher. So he just would be great to have on the team. Especially if any injury problems continue to linger. I really think that Matthews has been injured. I think he's covered it up. But if, you know, the combination of Matthews and Perry and Chubb would really bring or potentially could bring real havoc to offensive lines, and that's what we're looking for. Will he end up in Green Bay? No, unless they trade up for him. And in order to get where Chubb will be picked, they would potentially have to part with a second-round draft pick or even move up to get him. And so if he – I don't think he's going to go to the middle top 10. It'd still be something of a Packer reach. But they should seriously consider it. You know, I really think that they should seriously consider moving up to get him if somebody doesn't latch on to him sooner. And I think whatever team does will be very lucky. So let's play a few spots while I try to reach Tommy. Okay. Please bear with me if there's some dead space here.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and
Tune in every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on Hunterdon Chamber Radio for Chamber in Action with Chamber President Chris Phelan and Good Morning host Big C, where we'll keep you informed on all the issues, all the initiatives of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and our business community here in Hunterdon County. You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey.
Hi, I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
Tommy, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, talk up a little louder or else I'm going to sound like I'm really blasting.
I can barely hear you, Jeremy.
Okay, I'm going to try up. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. I'll try to do this. Can you hear better now?
Yeah, it's a little bit better.
Okay, well, you talk up because it's going to be difficult for our audience to hear you.
Okay.
So anyway, I talked a little bit about the Packers schedule, and my guest today on the phone, and hope everybody can hear him, is Tom Devlin, and he is a diehard Eagles fan. So I wanted to start off a little bit with what he thinks about the Eagles schedule, and then also, you know, talk a little bit about the draft and where he thinks things are headed. So what do you think about the schedule, Tom?
Well, you know, it's, in all honesty, it's a quite favorable schedule for the Eagles. you know, sort of typically these Super Bowl defending champions typically have a pretty hard schedule the following year. But if you look at the Eagles this year, you know, I would say it's the middle of the pack. It's favorable in many, many ways. I've got a couple facts here for you that, you know, they're going to have a middle of the year bye week around week 9, which you really can't ask for a better one. And it's following a London game, no less, so they're going to have to travel across the pond. And it's great to be able to have a bye week after that. They're going to be able to rest, not going to have to worry about jet lag. And what I think really sticks out the most about it to me is the first 4 games. And to me, these games, you know, they have the biggest question mark around them because of the availability of Carson Wentz. And if you look at these, it starts out with Atlanta. That's a tough game. But whether Wentz is on the field or not, Nick Foles will be able to handle himself. Let's put it like that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I really do. And, of course, you know, what do you think about the fact that they're going to be playing the Vikings? I think that's about the 4th game.
That's week 5, actually.
Week 5, yes.
That's probably the most anticipating game, and truthfully, I'm very surprised that's not the game opening the year, the Thursday night game. Instead, it's Eagles versus Falcons, and which is also a playoff rematch, but I was surprised that they weren't going to go for the championship game rematch to open the year. But we'll get that week 5. I'm definitely going to say that's one of the most anticipated matchups this year, especially now that the Vikings acquired Kirk Cousins and hope to be able to get over the hump. They weren't able to this year and make it to that Super Bowl.
So what do you think is going to happen? I know the next week they're playing the Giants in New York. So what do you, any views on... You know, the Giants get to pick, what, second this time in the draft?
Yeah, the Giants have the second pick. I mean, right now, I wouldn't say I'm worried about it. The Giants are a team in flux. I mean, I don't think they're using the word rebuild, but if you look at where they are, that's a rebuild. You know, Eli Manning's 37 years old, still a viable quarterback in this league. Is he what he once was? Is he going to win 12 games? No, I don't think so. You know, but we'll see. I wouldn't say I'm worried about it right now, but we also have to see what the Giants do at number 2. Say they take a guy like Saquon Barkley, I don't think that makes them a playoff team, but that certainly makes them more of a threat than they were last year.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. I agree. I just saw recently, you know, he's been compared, meaning Saquon Barkley has been compared to Barry Sanders, who, of course, in my day was the great running back. And so, I mean, that would be, in my view, a really smart move if they took him.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. What I've been saying about Barkley is whatever team decides to pass on him, I think whoever you get, you're going to regret it. That guy can end up being a Pro Bowler who you get over him. You're going to regret not getting this guy. In my opinion, he's a generational back. You don't see running backs like this come along often at all. The last one might have been Ezekiel Elliott, but, I mean, Barkley looks like he could be him and then some. I mean, he is a true two-way back, pass catcher runner, dual threat. This is a guy who's putting up 1,000 in each category, nearly. I mean, he's just incredible.
Well, I saw him bench press, which I was just absolutely amazed at that. And, you know, there's as much hype probably about him as any running back that we've seen, including Elliott, but I agree with you. I mean, I think he could be as good, if not better, than Ezekiel, but who knows? I mean, but I think he could be taken, you know, what, even second or third? Do you really?
Yeah, he could be as early as second. Yeah, maybe even third. I mean, the Jets moved up to that third spot, and I think the reason that they did that is that's for a quarterback. I'm pretty set on the Jets taking a quarterback at this point, but who knows? But I think the Giants would really regret missing a guy like Barkley. But the question is, what do you value more, a franchise running back or a franchise quarterback? And at the end of the day, the authorized general manager is going to be a franchise quarterback. So,
well,
I could really see Barkley landing is that number, the Browns' second pick at number 4. Right now, that's where I would see it happening. Because I think the Browns are probably going to take a quarterback in that up one spot, whether it be Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, or outside chance, Josh Allen. And then I wouldn't be surprised if at four, they end up taking Barkley, because if they take a quarterback at two, I'm 100% the Giants. I mean, if the Browns take a quarterback at number one, I'm 100% sure the Giants will take one at number two, because they couldn't risk not being able to get one of their guys.
So you do think, I mean, I really thought the Giants would take a quarterback, but, you know, John is not here this week, but I don't think he's as confident that they will. I think he thinks that they have who's their quarterback now? I mean, not Eli, obviously, but
it's Eli Manning, and that's really the end of the story.
I know Eli. Whoa. I know Eli is their quarterback, but who else do they have? John thought they had somebody sitting.
Well, they have Geno Smith, who started the game last year. I believe he's still on the roster. Started the game that Eli was benched for, that controversial game that they ended his playing streak with. And I believe the other one is, his name is escaping me. He's been on the team for a year or two. Yeah, a young kid. That maybe they see something in him.
Yeah, I think they do.
I don't. I mean, I'd be very surprised. This is a whole new regime coming in with Dave Gettleman taking over at GM and Pat Shurmur taking over at coach. And the thing is, when new regimes come in, they want new toys to play with. If the old guys saw him something in him, that doesn't always mean that the new guys are gonna per se. You know, this is a new look Giants. You know, Jerry Reese is gone. Of course, the head coach is gone. You know, so they've revamped.
You know who I'd like to see the Packers trade up? I know they'd have to trade up to get him. But you know who I'd like to see the Packers pick?
Who's that?
I think Bradley Chubb.
That would be a coup to get up there to get him, but he is excellent.
I mean, I think he would really fit in with the Packers. You know, if you had, you know, with him, with Clay Matthews, with Perry, especially if there are any injuries, you know, they just would be, you know, a dynamite, you know, just, I don't know. I guess it's not going to happen, but his brother Brandon is a linebacker with Detroit. I thought his father Aaron played in the NFL, but I could be wrong. I know he was a star linebacker for Georgia. In fact, I thought he was with the Packers for a short time, but honestly, I guess I better check into that before I say anything.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you on that one.
But I just...
Another guy, you know, unfortunately, you know, the Packers are... Where they are, I mean, stranger things have happened. I mean, there is the possibility, you know, we've seen things happen at draft day, you know, something could happen. Maybe Chubb slips, but, you know, Packers are picking at 14. So it puts them in sort of no man's land. I don't see any situation where he would drop that ball. But again, possibility to move up, you never know. I can see the Packers taking guy, and I think he's very good. He's out of Alabama. I think he makes a Fitzpatrick. And, I mean, he's high on everybody's board. I think he's pretty much, him and Derwin James are pretty much the two consensus best safeties in the draft. And I've seen some people have, you know, they have interchangeable which one will go higher. And I think if the Packers could land him, that would be really good.
Well, that's great. What do you know about Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame?
Oh, excellent. I mean, this is a guy, he is the highest touted guard coming out in a long time, probably since another Notre Dame player, Zach Martin, who, you know, is now playing all-pro for the, you know, guard for the Cowboys. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, he's another one. He could be going as high as five, maybe six or seven in a lot of drafts. You know, I've seen some people say maybe the Buccaneers take a swing at him, try to protect Jameis Winston. I've seen some people, maybe the Bears take a swing at him, try to protect their young quarterback. But he is, you know, he is an excellent player. And another, you know, his teammate Mike McGlinchey is also a tackle who was a first-round talent. I've seen him in the first round on most boards, as high as 10 in some spots even.
That's all right. What he's by the way, we haven't figured out, is he an Eagles fan or a Cowboys fan in your family?
Well, no, he is an Eagles fan, because when I was getting him his bag of food about 2 weeks ago, I went to get one of his big bags, and they had Eagles Super Bowl shirts for sale for puppies.
You're kidding.
And They were a little expensive, but I did buy him one, and he has worn it, so he is an Eagles pup.
Well, I'm sure that your brother is not at all happy about that one, since he's a Cowboy fan.
No, he was not happy to see it, but I said, hey, he was here. He was a good boy during the playoff run and the Super Bowl, so he deserved it.
I guess if anybody ever saw your family watch an Eagles game and a Cowboys game, first of all, they wouldn't know who the mother of the group is, because your mom is probably the most diehard Cowboy fan that I've ever met. And I guess we're all crazy. But I guess the good thing for the Giants this year is they're going to have a real good group, depending on who they want to, select. Do you really think all the quarterbacks will go first? I mean, that's always the...
Well, what happens is, it depends. Now, what happens is, as soon as the team pulls the trigger on a quarterback, then everybody starts to panic, and then they start flying off the board. So, that's why I'm saying, if the Browns take one number one, I think they say this is like a... For the top guys, it's a three-quarterback draft about. So as soon as that first one's off the board, these teams that want a guy go into scramble mode. I've heard some reports even saying that the Browns may try to use that to their advantage and maybe even get the Giants to trade up a spot, trade with them by, pressuring them, saying, we're going to take this guy. If you want him, trade with us. Because they still have that number four pick, safety net, to take one of the other guys if they wanted to.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? You're right.
Yeah. That's what happens because, the Browns are, they're in the full rebuild. So, if they're able to get a second-round pick, stay out of that, and only fall back a spot and also get another guy at four, that's a pretty big move for them. They wouldn't,
But, of course, the Giants are only going to do that if they don't think, and I can't remember the young quarterback they have, won't morph into a franchise quarterback.
I mean, most experts are pretty pretty set on the Giants getting a quarterback. I mean, it's not impossible that they get Barkley, because maybe they say they don't like any of the quarterbacks this year. Maybe they say they like Barkley and they want to make a move for a quarterback next year and they decide to get him. But I think this year's the year. Like I said, they have a new GM coming in, and when a guy comes in, he wants to put his fingerprint, his mark on the team, and the way to do that is to get that franchise quarterback. And I think that's the move for the Giants.
Well, who do you think is underappreciated in this draft?
Oh, who do I think is underappreciated?
Right.
Well, the big one that you've heard lots of talk of, and, he's the ultimate underdog. He doesn't want to be considered an underdog.
I'm sorry. Say the name again.
It's Shaquem Griffin coming out of the university's escaping me, UCF down in Florida it is, and he's the one who's missing the hand due to a birth defect he had when he was born, and he is just blowing people's minds. At a pro day, I don't know if he was invited to the combine initially, but he is just really wowing people. I mean, he went from a guy who was talk of being undrafted and maybe being a third or fourth round pick.
Really?
So he's a guy I really have my eye on, yeah.
Well, that'll be, that would really be interesting, because you're right. I don't see him, in anyone's, top 10 or 15.
No, well, he's not going to be a first round pick, and he certainly, I don't think it's going to be a second. But once he gets into the third, and that's still, you think about it, that's still very high in the draft. The third round is still, top 100 players, and there are a lot of excellent players coming out. You could see him going in the early third round, maybe, and that would be a big snag for a team.
Oh, then, they won't have to pay him a lot of money either.
Yeah, no, that's another big part of it. Another guy I think is really undervalued is Lamar Jackson, the quarterback out of Louisville, the former Heisman Trophy winner. Some people talk highly of him, but, this is a guy who, his numbers are unbelievable. You watch his tape, he has it all. And some people are still convinced that he's, for some reason, I don't know what, that he's not a quarterback. And
that
escapes me.
I absolutely agree with you, because, wasn't he the youngest ever? He won the Heisman Trophy in 2016, right?
I don't know if he was a freshman when he won it. I mean, he might have been one of the youngest at his university, or I'm not sure.
Well, you know, one of the things that's interesting, of course, is what Michael Vick said, that Jackson is a splitting image of himself. And yet he said he's even better,
yeah, too.
Better passer, great cuts, great instinct. And so the question is, why hasn't he gotten the hype and respect that Vick received when he entered into the NFL in, what was it, 2001?
2001, and remember, Michael Vick was the number one overall.
Right, right.
It's very surprising. It's like, in my mind, I almost feel like teams are trying to talk themselves out of him, you know, with the argument that, oh, he's a runner, and he's not, you know, that he's not a true pocket passer, and that's just not true. You know, he is a quarterback, and you've heard some of the real top ones, like the Bill Pulleyans and the Charlie Casserleys and such, really say that this guy has it. He's ready. Mike Mayock in particular. I think he has him as like his number one or two quarterback on his board.
Well,
but
you
for
know,
some reason, I mean, some people have, you know, there were certain GMs who said they wanted him to move to wide receiver and stuff. Like,
yeah, I heard the same thing. Why would they want someone who, in fact, if he's Vic's splitting image, even consider moving him to receiver? And I guess I heard somebody said, has the NFL not learned anything over the past decade? You know, that they think that Jackson can certainly do the running and the throwing. And, of course...
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. This league has proven... You look at some of the brightest young quarterbacks in the league are dual-threat quarterbacks. I mean, you look at a Russell Wilson. I mean, he's a guy who can certainly use his legs. Cam Newton. I mean, a guy like Carson Wentz uses his legs. I mean, that's sort of the quarterback of the future.
Well, and especially if he could...
Even Aaron Rodgers, a little bit of an older one, shows the ability to get out. I mean, it's the quarterback of today. I don't know why. Yeah, it really boggles my mind.
Well, I don't know enough about Lamar Jackson to know if he's as elusive as Aaron Rodgers or could be. But, you know, that Rodgers, when you look at it, he makes plays because he gets out of bad situations.
Well, Rodgers has got a sixth sense. I mean, he's certainly not the fastest quarterback, but his ability to just move around back there and slide in the pocket is unmatched.
Well, you're absolutely right, especially because he's not had as much protection as he's often needed or should have received. So what else are you looking for? Any comments about the Giants? I know we're going to talk next week when John is here. We'll talk about both the Giants' schedule and who he thinks. You know, we have one more program before we actually end up, isn't the draft going to be on ABC?
It's next Thursday. It's a week, 6 days.
Is it? What's the date?
April 26th.
Yeah, and I thought it was also going to be on television on Saturday.
Well, the other rounds are. The first round is Thursday night.
Right. But then...
And then we have the second and the third round will be Friday evening, and the rest of the rounds will be on Saturday.
Okay. Because I think a lot of the stations, you know, ABC, ESPN, NFL Network... you know, they're all going to at least broadcast on Saturday.
Oh, yes. You know, it's the big ratings boom for the offseason. I mean, these guys on ESPN and NFL Network are on, like, mock draft number 500. You know, this is what they do. You know, they just talk about it, and they give you – they've laid out about every scenario you can get at this point because, you know, that's just what they do. It's the highlight of the offseason, certainly.
Well, do we know, I was looking also to see, you know, people have, including the Cowboys, I mean, why in the world did, I don't know why they got rid of Dez Bryant. Do we know where he's going? I haven't heard.
Well, no, I mean, it's up in the air, and I'm pretty sure at the moment. I don't think he'll be signed until after the draft. You know, after then, teams will have more of an idea where they are going into next year. Roster-wise, you know, depth-wise. So I think after the draft settles down, I think we'll get an idea of where he's going to land then.
Well, that's a good comment. I think you're right. I'd like to see him go to the Packers, but I've heard he will never go to the Packers.
Well, you know, he said there's some emotion involved that might make him not want to go there, but all it takes is the right couple people getting in his ear because that could be the what he needs, you know, revitalize his career. Absolutely. But I think the Packers moving on from Jordy Nelson at, you know, turning 31 sort of says to me they might not want to sign a 29-year-old Dez Bryant. But you never know. I mean, all it takes is the right price in the right situation.
Well, I really, you know, didn't like the fact that they let Jordy go, because although he ended up with a great contract, I thought it was unfair to not give him another year with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they really connect. And, you know, if it didn't work out in the middle of the season, that would be something else. But, you know, Jordy has been one of those players like, you know, Donald Driver and, you know, other people that you just really hate to see go. Or at least I hate to see go.
A real player you can identify with, a guy who's just been a great teammate, a great guy to watch. And that's the sad part about football sometimes is, you know, at the end of the day, we forget that it's a business, that business decisions are made, unfortunately. You know, I watched a guy like Brent Celek. You know, he was the longest tenured Eagles player the Eagles have, and they had unfortunately caught him in the offseason. It's, you know, it's never pretty, and you never want to see it happen.
Well, look what they did, you know, going way back before your time. Look what they did to Reggie White. I mean, they did not sign him.
He became, they didn't even offer him a contract. Norman Brayman was such a knucklehead.
I mean, that really was. I mean, it. I mean, from everything I heard, especially from Reggie's widow, that he wanted to stay in Philadelphia. The family was out here. They, you know, they certainly didn't want to go to Green Bay, and but he became and certainly was a leader of the Packers and was a leader of the Eagles, and so that was
absolutely. Yeah, speaking of NFL being a business, that's the greatest. You know, that's all. That's just an owner who's more worried about the bottom line than he is about having a winning football team, and was willing to part with, you know, one of the greatest ever, you know, play in his position. And that's a move that haunted the Eagles for a long time.
And
especially seeing him win a Super Bowl and be such an instrumental factor in it so shortly after.
Well, he was instrumental in the Packers going to the Super Bowl. He truly was.
And winning it, too. I mean, he had an unbelievable game in that Super Bowl.
Yep. But that's what I mean. I think there are some players like a Reggie White, a Donald Driver, you know, even and Jordy, that really did more for the team than just as players. And I think that's you can't really figure out how important that is. So I really thought that they've made other mistakes in letting certain people go. But what do you think about some of the off-season moves?
Oh, well, it was whatchamacallit, it was, you know, an exciting off-season again, in particular with all the quarterbacks, you know, on the market. It really made for an exciting off-season. Rarely do you ever see so many, and, you know, quality. You know, there's always, you know, the guys out there, you know, the journeymen and such, to have a handful of quality quarterbacks on the market really made it an interesting off-season. And to have so many of these guys end up in new places really added to the intrigue of it.
So who do you think is going to be the most successful?
Oh, sorry, I couldn't hear what you said there.
Who do you think will be the most successful with the move they've made?
I mean, in my opinion, it's going to be the Vikings getting Cousins. I mean, you take a team that was already in the championship game with a good quarterback in Case Keenum. I don't think Keenum's the top flight quarterback, but he was able to get him there. And you take a guy like Cousins, who maybe hasn't won the big games. You know, he struggled a little bit in the playoffs when he's reached it. But, I mean, his numbers are exceptional.
Yeah.
I mean, his completion percentage is amongst the best of any player over the last few years. You know, he's a Pro Bowl quarterback, Pro Bowl caliber. I think that's really going to be the big game-changing move we see.
Well, that's the unfortunate one as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's the unfortunate. You know, that's when you take a team like the Vikings that were so close, I mean, a guy like him certainly could put them over the hump they weren't able to get over this year.
Well, I think it's very interesting that your Eagles are going to be playing in London, and I'm sure you're going to be going to that game, right?
Oh, yeah. Nice and bright, barely get up across the pond.
Well, it would be one reason for those of us who are Irish to go to England, right?
Yeah, I still don't know if that'll get me there.
So what good can you say about your brother's team, the Cowboys?
I mean, the Cowboys had a quiet off season. but I think that's sort of the offseason they needed to have. There really weren't any names out there that the Cowboys could go get to address the issues they have. You know, they could have done what they've done before and sort of reach on a few names. But at the end of the day, they're sort of sitting pretty here coming into the draft. They're sort of drafting in a spot at number 19. You know, you wish you could be a little bit higher. But, you know, the Cowboys are a good football team. Remember, this is a team that went 9-7. You know, all it takes is a couple, you know, balls to bounce differently, and that's an 11-win football team in the playoffs. And I fully expect them to be fighting for a playoff spot again this year with the Eagles in the East. I wouldn't be surprised if both of them end up in the playoffs next year, one taking a wild card and one taking the division.
Well, one of the things about Super Bowl teams often, I remember with the Ravens especially, so many of the guys who were on that team weren't there a year later. Is that any kind of a problem with the Eagles?
I mean, we lost, that's just what inevitably happens. Guys who win championships, you know, automatically become more valuable than guys who didn't. And, yeah, you start to get guys who, you know, suddenly who are worth $5 million. You know, they've won a Super Bowl, now they're worth $15 million. An unfortunate victim of that, who I was pretty upset to see, was Trey Burton, one of our tight ends. He went to Chicago, and he's going to be making, you know, like about a five-year, like $24 million contract. And,
wow.
You know, unfortunately, with a team like the Philadelphia Eagles, you can't really pay two tight ends that much money. And since you won a Super Bowl, you lose a great role player like that.
Well, it must.
There were a few more, but they had some decent additions. I mean, they added Michael Bennett, a move that I'm still, a bit on the fence about. You know, there's been some noise since they got him. We won't get into that, you know. But that, I prefer, you know, what I think made the Eagles such an excellent team last year is they were a team, truly were a team. Those
yep.
guys were all out there for each other. There was none of the off-the-field noise. You see how much the noise can affect the team. Take the Dallas Cowboys of last year. This is a 13-win team. All the noise of Ezekiel Elliott in the offseason. You know, turbulent offseasons lead to turbulent regular seasons. That's just the way it is. You know, I prefer it to be quiet, you know, good, just football stuff.
Well, you know what I thought actually could have really helped? Everybody thought that once Wentz was out, that was the end of the season. And you did see... I'm not an Eagles fan, obviously, but you really did see that team come together. And, you know, they were so supportive of Foles. I mean, it was really pretty amazing to watch, you know, their team spirit. It almost went up, not down.
Yeah, I really agree. I mean, because they all, you know, it's one thing when you got this guy leading the charge who's just, you know, taking you all and putting them on his back, but when that you all have to shoulder that load when he goes down, you really see what you're all made of, and I think that's really what happened with the Eagles.
And they did.
That Super Bowl, you saw that everybody was hit on all strides.
Okay. Well, listen, Tommy, this is kind of the end of the show. I'm going to play a few commercials, and thank you so much for appearing today.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent.